Father's Day, I just had a feeling when Luke was just, and Andrew Seeley was just thanking all the fathers and stuff. It's such a hard thing to do, and because I think sometimes there's, Luke mentioned it too, but there are some of us worship a Savior who understands exactly where you're coming from. And I just wanted to encourage you, is we always start with physical family, but God adopts us into His family. So I just want to encourage you, if you're here today, I mean, I remember having to like message my real dad and my stepdad and how to do it. But I just want to encourage us that actually Jesus models for us. Because when He taught us how to pray, He said, firstly, it's our Father. That was the very essence, the very start of everything. And So back on the preach though. I just want to say it's good here to be here today. I am doing a lot of this in faith. I had an accident that Luke mentioned, and I was going to show a picture, but it's actually not about me. But basically, car got flattened. I hit a truck with a giant container on the back. And then a lot of people that saw the pics were like, Flip, how did you get out there alive? You know, and amazingly, I just had a broken collarbone and a, as Christoph calls it, a Harry Potter scar. That's not an encouragement, that's a subtle rebuke. And so my head is a bit foggy. I struggle with names, remembering names and places and stuff. But the nice thing is I have met a whole bunch of new people at church. So I want to welcome Theo. He's here for the first time. So nice to have you, Theo. And but I'll tell you, just before I start, God's taught me some incredible lessons through this thing. He's taught me He doesn't need me. And what's amazing is it's sometimes your strengths can be a weakness too, because what happens is when you become a husband and a father and an elder and you're an employee, you're a taxpayer, you're all these things, you have the subtle subconscious thing inside of you that actually God needs you, right? Because if I don't love my wife, who's going to love my wife? If I don't parent my children, who's going to parent my children? And what God showed me is that actually doesn't need me. My wife can be... She can be a single mom, like Rashi. When she stood up this morning, she's been a single mom. She's been both a dad and a mom to Jasmine and done an excellent job. Rashida? All right, she's not here, but still. Just tell her that. She's at kids, yeah. No, but God can give full the grace to do that by herself. The same way He could give. I had to have a conversation with my eldest child to say, hey, like, how would you have responded if I died? And the response was negative. And I had explained to her that actually if God chooses to take me away, you've still got to, He's still faithful. He'll still give you the grace. He will still be there for you in more ways than if I was there. So I am very humbled to be here, because what was a normal Thursday, I was going to go see an accountant, turned into, I woke up with my pastor on my right and my wife on my left. I literally don't remember a thing. I blinked my eyes and I woke up in hospital, and you know, that's a random Thursday. And I felt like God said to me, you can't take your random Thursdays for granted. Every single day is a gift. Every day at the office where you get to go in, Zep, are you listening? And you do your job well, okay? Is an opportunity to experience God's grace, to be grateful, to be measured in how you respond to what the gifts that God has given us. And I mentioned gratefulness. Luke asked me to do a four-minute preach the other day, and then Dennis and someone else just said, hey, I was convicted by what you said. And all it was a high-level summary of what I'm doing now. And there was the theory, and I feel like this last 2 months, I've got more of the practice. So what I spoke to you a couple months ago was good theology, but what I feel like what I've got under my belt now is like cheapest, man. I've had to live this thing out. And, After I came out of hospital, I was so sad. I was so, so down. I'd written off my car. I put my wife under pressure. I let my team down at work. I literally managed to do this all on month end. So I had the whole work catastrophe and clients that I dropped. And then I had my kids that were super worried about me. I had my parents in a state. And then I tried to just tell myself to suck it up and be a man, you know, and not be sad. But then I realized, like, sadness is a natural response to a traumatic event. It's normal, right? But us guys, sometimes we're like, yo, be a man. Do the right thing, you know? And actually what I did is I embraced the sadness. I was sad, and I processed that well. But then what happens is we get a choice, right? So it's the exact same circumstance, but I have the opportunity to either look at the car that I lost, the admin that I've got to go through, all the forms I've got to fill in, all the work that I've missed, or I can choose to look at those same things in the lens through the lens of faith and actually thank God. And what happened was I was booked off work for 4 weeks, and I can't tell you how insecure that makes you when you lead a team and you're supposed to be at the cutting edge of what we're doing, and we're moving servers and in country, and what I chose to do is to take it as a sabbatical. I was like, you know what? I've never had 4 weeks off in my life. After school, I'm that old. And I chose to embrace it. And to the point where I was listening to one of Andrew Selly's preachers, and he was just saying, you know, some of our elders are really going through a tough time at the moment. And I was like, yo, hectic. I wonder who's going through a tough time. I'm trying to think. Then the Holy Spirit was like, psst, it's you. Like, oh, I am going through a tough time. I was living my best life. People were dropping me off meals. I think, honestly, we had Francois and Erika's lasagna last night. It's the last, I mean, honestly, it's been 2 months and I've just finished my last lasagna. I think it's the last lasagna. We're open to lasagnas if you want to drop one off. But the point is, I was just so, like, by constantly choosing thankfulness and to be. To look at all these things with like, thank you, Lord. Thank you that I get time off. Thank you that my team's capable. They don't need me. Instead of being fraught with insecurities. And, yeah, and I must say, I had one moment also where Gala preached a bomb. And one of the comments on one of the groups was like, oh, that was the best preach of the whole year. And I just felt Satan come and grab that and try and get me to compare myself with Gala, which is dangerous because he is the best-looking elder. And but you know what I've realized? Well, that's awkward. Guys, we're having prayer for Luke afterwards. Third best. Anyway, let's not get technical. And I really felt like God just reminded. God's been so good, hey? Like, God is stripped the thing of comparison, the thing of performance. I've got 2 months. I haven't done anything as an elder. And you come in, everyone's like, I've missed you. I was like, for what? I haven't done anything, you know? And I just felt so encouraged that, you know, and I say this, I share this not to share personal information, but actually, if you're a comm leader, if you're a deacon, there is this thing of comparison. If you listen to the wrong voice, and God doesn't love one child over the other. He is so stoked with you, and you've got stuff to do that only you can do. And there's a temptation. I heard someone say the other day, like, sometimes we look at ministry like we are spiritual entrepreneurs. Got to come up with a preach, come up with a thing. It's not. You are just the connecting lightning rod for God to use to connect his truth to his people. That's all you are. And we've got truth that's over, like, thousands of years old, and that's all our responsibility is to communicate that. So if we go to the next slide, please. I've got a lot of scripture, guys, but you're going to see where I'm going with this. Before I read that, this prophetic painting here, I looked at it earlier and I was like, cool, I don't know what's going on. And then when Hans sang that song, just bear with me, I lose the word sometimes. But when Hans sang that song, it all made sense. I could almost smell and taste and see the water. And that's my heart for this morning, is that, like, when we talk about thanksgiving and praise, it's like you look at this abstract piece of art and you're like, yeah, cool, you know? But what I really want for us this morning is I want us to taste and see that God is good. I want us to, because when you realize that that's not just a picture, that's a reality you get to live in. You get to live in the deep, refreshing waters, the tree that's roots go deep down. That no matter if the sun beats down on you, if it's dry, it doesn't matter. Your leaves are still green. And that's what I want for us this morning. Okay. So this scripture, Ephesians 5, 15-20, actually Luke's slide from last week finished on, from what I can remember, finished on this exact scripture. It says, yeah, be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Making most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Luke came back from the States, and he was like, cool, guys, I want to preach on worship. And I just thought to myself, but we're doing super well in worship. I mean, I thought we were phenomenal. And the last two sermons have been worship that is free from fear. That was the first one. The second one was a life of continuous worship. And I was so encouraged because even though I think we're doing pretty well in worship, God doesn't just rebuke, he prunes as well. So even if it's an area we're doing well in, he's constantly pruning us and helping us to get better. And but the thing that I wanted to focus on is to bring the second leg, and this is the thing that just wrecked my heart last week. I really shouldn't be preaching technically, but I really felt the Holy Spirit say, I want you to share this. And that thing of speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, songs, which is amazing because it's... I wouldn't have put speaking to one another, right? I would have put worship to the Lord. But that speaking to one another shows the horizontal nature as well as the vertical nature of praise. When we worship the Lord together, Luke mentioned it the other week, don't forsake the gathering of the saints, right? There's such a multifaceted dimension to worship where, yes, we're worshiping the Lord, but we are also speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, right? And it says there next, sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. I don't know about you guys, when I make music, it comes from my voice box and my lungs. Right? It doesn't, you know? But the scriptures here are saying it comes from the heart. Hey? Isn't that amazing? From your heart. This is what I want to focus on, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I wanted to say that there is something dynamic about worship and giving thanks. It's almost like the two legs. Like if you look at a human being walking, right? We're actually in a constant state of falling over. Does that make sense? It's like left leg, right leg. And it's, if I was designing a human being, I don't know if I would have made it this way where you're constantly falling over, but your next leg catches you. And then if you do this pretty well, you chuck a soccer ball in here, and then all of a sudden you can do amazing tricks. You can run, you can go places. There's incredible things for you to do. And I feel like that's something for us to grapple onto, because the worship side of things, it's often a heart revelation. It comes from deep within you, but then there's also a praise aspect. And there's a relationship between the worship and the praise, which ensures your head and your heart aren't left behind. I watched that. I've tried not to watch too much preachers while I've been sick. I've just actually tried to focus on finance and politics, because if you listen to too many preachers and not put it into action, you can actually numb your heart. So I've tried to be very selective to the things I've listened to. But I did catch that one diary of a CEO chat talk, whatever, podcast with John Lennox. And this one line just blew me away, where John Lennox, I mean, essentially the whole talk was about AI and faith as well. But you got this guy who's like in his 80s and he's just giving facts. Hey, Gen Z, spitting facts. And what happened was at the end of it, I mean, I forget the guy's name, but Steve. I won't go there. But Steve was saying, because he had interviewed Wes Huff and he interviewed John Lennox, and he was just saying, you know, it's amazing, so many facts and stuff that's incredible. He said, the one thing about you Christians is that you have this joy, you have this peace about you, which I've only ever seen in Christians. And I want us to be the kind of people that walk in worship and praise to such a degree that actually nothing can unsettle us. So we can go through hard times, good times, but we've got this unseated joy that we cannot be rattled by. And that's my deep desire for us, because we live in a generation, guys, that are filled with anxiety, we're depressed, we've got like mental illnesses through the roof. And I'm telling you, there's something in what I'm about to share with you this morning. So just listen in faith. Can we go to the next slide? That's a belief. Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving, go into his courts with praise, give thanks to him and praise his name. I tell you, this psalm is just, you know when you read the scriptures and then the Holy Spirit just, you copy-paste it onto your brain and you just can't get past it. And you're like, okay, cool. And you just go over it and over it and over it. And I've really massaged this one into my heart. And this was, I think, written by David in the Old Testament. And it's just incredible that... Why is it incredible, George? Yeah, it was the Old Testament. There were a lot of rules to get into the temple. There were a lot of boxes to tick to get into his courts. But David, he didn't look at the things he had to do. He looked at the absolute blessing and joy it is to be in his presence. And thanksgiving is the beginning, right? And that ends up leading to praise. We start with thanksgiving and we end up leading into praise. Praise takes our eyes off the gifts and puts our eyes back on the giver. And I was thinking of the rich man and Lazarus, where the rich man had everything he had needed in this life and he missed it. And you had Lazarus in his poverty and his tough times that managed to enter the presence of God because he was very thankful for all forms of kindness. And the reason why I thought of that is just because there's a danger in riches of all forms. There's a real danger, especially for our generation that has everything. You know, 2,000 years ago, the king of Pharaoh didn't have panado. If you had a headache, you had to get some magician to, I don't know, like do a dance and try to help him. And I just want to say, we live in a generation where the news tells us bad things are happening all the time, but life is actually stealthily getting better and better and better. There's more people that are out of poverty now than have ever been out of poverty, and there is still poverty, and it's very real. But I think in the next 2 to 5 years, we're going to see culture shift in such a profound way that AI and automation and, I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I was young, right? Just bear with me. If you wanted to watch The Simpsons, it's a saying, you had to wait till you had to wait for open time on Mnet to come on, right? And then it would show you The Simpsons from 6:30 till 7. That was it. And then when it's done. And my children, you put the radio on, they're like, can we choose a song? I'm like, it's not how the radio works. whatever they're giving is what you get. You don't get to choose. And I just wanted to say that because I often said also, the most dangerous time in your life is when God gives you the things that you've wanted, right? When you've trusted God for the wife, the kids, the home, and he gives you those things, I tell you, where's your heart? Is your heart on the giver or is it on the gifts? Because everything that you've wanted, once you get it, you have to maintain. A marriage doesn't, what's the word I'm looking for, Phil? Phil's happy married, just for the record. No, jokes. It's a marriage takes work. Children take work. A job takes work. There's so much stuff for us to do. But when we look to the giver, we're able to handle those things full of grace. And I just want to be honest with you guys, because I can stand up here and say, yo, guys, I enter his gates with thanksgiving and praise all the time. My life is just... And it's not. I have moments where I completely mess up. And I'll be honest with you, and don't, you're going to laugh, but I actually, some of my most profound moments of rectifying and actually applying the psalm to my life is actually in the shower, where I take a moment and I think to myself, I need to give God thanks, but I'm just so overwhelmed with all the trouble and drama that I have that I actually can't think of anything I'm actually grateful for. And I kid you not, I stand there and I'm like, oh, I got nothing. And I just start, thank you, Lord, for the warm water, because I can feel that, right? I can feel the warm water on my face. And then I start going, oh, the warm water's got to come from somewhere. Oh, there's a geyser up there. Thank you, Lord, for the geyser. And I'm like, but that geyser sits on a roof. Thank you, Lord, for the roof. And then I'm like, you know what? There's actually people that live in this house. There's kids and a wife. Oh, thank you, Lord, for them. And then before you know it, I kid you not, your heart is so full of gratitude and thanks that I kid you not, I often start to worship the Lord. I start to sing and say, God, you're so good. Why? Not because I had a deep thankfulness in my heart or because I'm just such a great elder. No. I've spoken to myself like David spoke to his soul. Stand up. Give worship to the Lord. And I remember once also Phil said to me, why do you always sing Amazing Grace and Be Thou My Vision to the girls? And I mean, I have one distinct memory of me and Zoe, and it was Phil had postnatal, and I had a job where I'd worked till like midnight. So I took, Zoe. I took it from midnight to, I think, 1 or 2 in the morning. And all I did, I was walking up and down the passage, just patting a screaming child. And Phil said to me, why do you always sing Amazing Grace to her? And I said, I'm not actually singing Amazing Grace to Zoe. I'm singing it to myself. Because I'm reminding me of the amazing grace that God gave me, that empowers me to give grace at 2 o'clock in the morning to my crying child. Okay, can we go to the next slide, please? I just want to show you the pattern here, because when I saw this, I was absolutely blown out of my tree. You know in Scripture where it says, and then they broke bread together, and you're like, okay, cool. I mean, I don't break bread. I eat. I'm sure it's the same thing, right? But sometimes these things are more abstract, and I just want to solidify them. So just bear with me. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Okay? All circumstances. Not on payday, not when life's going well, but in all circumstances. Ephesians 5:12, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That means tough times, that means good times, that means quiet times, that means solitude, that means when you have friends. Colossians 2:6-7, so then, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith that you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Hey? Overflowing with thankfulness. Why not love? Why not hope? Why not peace? Overflowing with thankfulness. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Next slide. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Colossians 4:2. And Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. 1 Timothy 4:3, therefore bid people to marry and order them to abstain from certain foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. And Hebrews says, therefore, since we receive the kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. So this is a God, if you're here today and you're actually not a Christian, I just want to encourage you. The reason why this is profound is because there's a God that exists that owns everything. The breath in your lungs, the heart that's beating in your chest, the people around you, that is all a gift, right? Today is a gift that God has given us, an absolute gift. Okay, can we go to the next slide? For me now, this is the meaty scripture. I just wanted to show you patterns in the previous scripture that actually, like when you start reading it, you start to see it. And even when Jesus rose Lazarus from the dead, the first thing is, thank you, God, that you heard me. I don't know, if I'm raising someone from the dead, I'm not thinking about thanking the Father. I'm focusing on my healing ministry, if you know what I mean. But yeah, so stick to my notes. Romans 1:21, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is very important. Listen up. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Futile is a funny word. It actually means useless. Synonym is useless. Thinking became useless, which means it serves no purpose, and their hearts were darkened. Guys, Lucifer once knew God. Lucifer himself, Satan, stood in God's presence, and he lost it. Adam and Eve once walked with God. How often do we say to ourselves, if I could just see God, if I could just ... if I could just, then I would believe. I want to encourage you that there's something so profound in this truth that I'm showing you here, that in worshiping him and giving thanks to him, we align ourselves with reality. Luke 17 says, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Arise and go. Your faith has made you well." There's a profound truth in that scripture, and that is when God does come through for you, when he does answer your prayer, when he does heal you, how often do we come back in a heart full of praise? How often do we give God the glory for the things that he has done? And I find that number just amazing. 1/10 of the people came back. Hey, isn't that incredible? Isn't it almost like a tithe? Hey, where one person tithes their thanks for Jesus. And I just want to say, you automatically become a minority when you're a thankful person. Because when you're going through tough times, people mean well. They mean well. And they want to come beside you and say, "Oh, I'm so sorry. So, isn't this awful? Isn't this horrible that's happening to you?" And you can choose to say, "No, I'm so grateful that God works all things to the good of those who love him. I'm so grateful God's with me in this time. I'm so grateful God's given me the ability to not lean on my own self, but to trust him in this moment." This next scripture in Acts 27, verse 35, this is Paul. They're about to go through a massive shipwreck, and he says, "Yeah, now I urge you to take some food. You need it to survive. Not one of you will lose a single hair from his head." And after he said this, he took some bread and gave thanks to God in front of them all. He broke it and began to eat. They were all encouraged and ate some food for themselves. Again, I don't know about you guys, but if I'm on a ship I get so seasick. But if I'm on a ship that's about to, even at the best of times, but if this one's about to crash, I don't know if I would be, if my knee-jerk reaction is to be grateful and thankful. Yet, Paul did that. He was grateful. And I wrote here, it says, "Food for the body and gratitude for the soul. We need to feed ourselves, but our gratefulness feeds those around us." And if we could be a bunch of people that are able to work this stuff out for ourselves, we'll be the kind of congregation and the kind of Christians that people in culture look at and go like, what is up with you guys? How can you guys go through persecution? How can you go through whatever you're going through with such a lightness? Because our gratefulness will spill over into other people around us. Next slide. So my opening was thanks, and my closing is thank you, Father. And we live in a generation that takes a lot of things for granted. Often I laugh when we go to a meal in a restaurant with family, and then some people serve us, and then we say, "How was it?" "That was okay." It's like, oh man, it's a weekend. Someone's slaving behind a hot stove to give you a meal. Like, there's something we can practice even in the small things of life. So this applies to the little things of just day-to-day being grateful for the little things, but also comes to the profound nature of your salvation, the profound nature of being adopted into family. And I wanted to ask you guys today, like, while I've been talking and sharing these truths with you, I wonder if there's anyone who's had, like, I want to describe it as like a random thought. I don't know if you've had that. When God's speaking, sometimes the Holy Spirit pulls something up into your mind and you're like, "Oh, there's that thing. There's a thing that I need to give thanks for." And I want to just put it out there today to ask if you'd like to come up and stand here with me in the front and actually thank the Lord out loud in front, and almost declare it into the spiritual realm, just to declare your thanks to him for what he's done, and whether it's a something in your life that you've been trusting him for, right? Maybe you've trusted God for something that you've really waited, and he's actually given it to you, but you've moved on. You've moved on. You haven't been grateful. And maybe there's an area of your life where you're actually like, "Flip, I'm still stuck." But maybe you're stuck because you haven't thanked him. Maybe you haven't aligned with that. Is that okay? I want to invite you up here if you'd like to.